floating hospitals, hovercraft, and drone lasers, Trump force ready to land in Iran, and what regime has in store for them. That's coming up. The final countdown to Cuckoo Land. And any of us that agree with the Pentagon, this is insane. We are the traitors. But coming up, Congressman Burchett says he's been given briefings on alien activity on the planet that would horrify any American. They should all be released. We're talking to the expert on this and so much more. Daniel List coming up next segment. So you don't want to miss this information coming up. You want to share the live feeds from Expert Alex Jones and on Rumble at the Alex Jones Show as well. This is so important. But Kushner, who owns the 666 Fifth Avenue and all the rest of it, and his dad, a known Israeli operative, is the main guy behind so much of this, even bigger than Mark Levin. Kushner doesn't talk a lot, but Mark Levin's the spokesperson, but the guy writing the scripts, Netanyahu, but his big buddy is Trump's son-in-law that is also on the Saudi payroll, as we've pointed out. And you got Saudi Arabia and Israel heavily tied at the hip doing all this. And they believe in a greater Middle East, this great deal they're going to have, and talking to all this peace and stuff. They just take out Iran, except the military assessments were 92% Pentagon that regime change wouldn't happen. They closed the strait. It would create a disaster and chain reaction. Didn't mean the Pentagon loved the mullahs. Doesn't mean I do. It means it wouldn't work. But up above that, the globalists like it because it'll kill the recovery, put us into debt. The Great Reset can launch again. That's why Larry Fink is so happy. So here's a breakdown, an excellent breakdown. It's all accurate on Jared Kushner. Here it is.
What people call conflicts of interest, Steve and I call experience and trusted relationships.
In 1 month, the U.S. dropped more than 5,000 bombs on Iran and billed the American taxpayer over $30 billion to do it. And one name keeps coming up as responsible, Jared Kushner. But to understand how, you need to know about two key relationships. The first goes back to when Kushner was a teenager. Buried in a 2017 New York Times article is a detail that's stayed under the radar. When Benjamin Netanyahu used to stay in the United States, he would stay at the Kushner family home in New Jersey. Most diplomats meet foreign leaders at negotiating tables. Jared Kushner met Benjamin Netanyahu when Netanyahu was sleeping in his bed, forcing Jared to sleep in the basement. The second relationship is with Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, MBS. And to understand that one, you need to know what happened the moment Kushner left Trump's first White House. He started a private equity firm called Affinity Partners to capitalize on his Middle East connections, despite having no experience in asset management whatsoever. So he went to the Saudi State Public Investment Fund and asked for money. And so the Saudi government Kushner had spent 4 years protecting wired him $2 billion. Kushner took that $2 billion in Saudi money to become the largest shareholder in Phoenix Holdings, Israel's biggest insurance company. Israel and Saudi Arabia used to be historic rivals, and yet Kushner, leveraging those Netanyahu and MBS relationships, said he wanted to open a, quote, investment corridor between Saudi Arabia and Israel. He is the corridor. Saudi money flowing through Kushner into the Israeli economy is the financial infrastructure of a new Middle East, recentered around Gulf Israeli ties. And every dollar that flows through it builds a region that doesn't want Iran at the table. Netanyahu actually said it out loud.
Saudi Arabia will have a lot to gain. I think all these countries around Iran are threatened by Iran. And I think peace between Israel and Saudi Arabia would be really possible. And probably very close once this thing happens.
And then came the Iran negotiations this past February. Diplomats from Britain and Oman said a deal was close and that war could be avoided. But Kushner told Trump there was no chance of a deal and that Iran was about to attack the United States. The Pentagon briefed congressional staff the exact opposite, that Iran had no plans to strike the U.S. The Guardian reported that a diplomat with direct knowledge of the talks said Kushner was regarded as an Israeli asset, trying to drag the U.S. into war. An Israeli asset who had Netanyahu sleeping in his childhood bedroom. Kushner's ideology was there long before the money was. What the money did was align financial interests perfectly with ideology.
I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier it would. I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
All right, we're about to do a deep dive in the next hour and a half or so. Then I have some other news I'm going to hit after Daniel List, top real alien UFO researcher, former Wall Street Journal writer, leaves us. But I want to just explain something. We're in the fourth turning. Sociologists, anthropologists, futurists know it. They predicted it 50 years ago. It's here. There's all this acceleration of technology and knowledge. 9 billion people. All these hidden technologies. A lot of disinformation trying to distract people away from what's real and what's not. And so the old global order is falling apart. Into that, Trump was coming in with a better system, we thought. Now he's gone sideways. That doesn't mean we're the Democrats or the left who openly are anti-human and want depopulation. Trump openly does want prosperity and a pro-human future and has acted like he wants disclosure. And from the experts I've talked to, they think he leans towards that. But there's definite changes in Trump. Is he compromised? Is it dementia? He doesn't sound as smart as he used to. We'll get Daniel List on that, but I wanted to talk about the increasing statements out of members of Congress, like Burchett saying, what I was briefed with 2 weeks ago would terrify all Americans, it should all be released. And then now these red orbs chasing aircraft around and things, and new footage out of Italy of these incredible, just like we saw when the Indonesian plane went up missing, you know, one big orb and a bunch around it. And they're checking these videos. They're not AI. So there's major increases in activity. NASA has come out and said double the amount of asteroids and weird things coming in than we ever see. I think it's way more than double. All these fireballs, looks like satellites being destroyed. Also, you know, we know they've got interdimensional control or dimensional tractor beams, which lists predict what happened. They would start dragging them into the atmosphere to then capture these things. The point is that we think we're in the year 2026. We're really in the year 2100. The future's here. It's just not equally distributed. You can debate whether PKD, that first launched the idea in modern history, was right. And he did get raided by the FBI and others. So they were concerned about overlapping realities and like updates to the Matrix. But regardless, we definitely have massive manipulations going on and a breakaway civilization or civilizations. What does that mean? But I wanted to air this short report by John Bound because above Israel, and by the way, I have a Tucker clip I didn't get to, but you know, he's reading the Epstein files. He says, actually, Israel's not as powerful as I thought reading this. Israel's just a control system of the U.S. It's this international banking cartel. Yeah. So whenever I explain it's not just Israel, Israel's just one node of this system. And if you just focus on that, you get blinded to the larger issues. I was talking to Dave Smith about that, so we have that clip coming up as well. I think I had it yesterday, but I'm going to play that today. So this is a big deal. But to set the table here, the mega banks want austerity. They want us to be poor. They want collapse because that then kills the general public, even having energy or time to look into things or to have upper mobility. It's a cutting off of resources is a way to stunt human development. So not just the breakaway civilization being way more advanced than us with all their corporate government reservations are advanced, but also putting us into a Hunger Games situation where we're totally poor, living subsistence, which is the UN plan from the 60s, Club of Rome, to bring us back to an agrarian society, no electricity, a depopulated planet with compact, high-tech city-states that are high-tech with like godlike technologies compared to the unwashed, and then a national park of the general public out here living in loincloths. So you see that in Hunger Games and Zardoz in the 70s, and over again, you ask, what is this? They're telling you their weird plan. Elysium, where they're off in a space station with live extension, we're down here starving. This is what they've come up with, and it all integrates together. So here's John Bowen's report. We'll go to Daniel List.
Fertilizer pharma shock is a compounding crisis that ties energy choke points directly to crop yields and medicine supplies in a chain reaction Washington refuses to acknowledge.
And just think about this. They have no Navy. They have no military. They have no nothing. They're losing. They admit they're losing. They're begging to make a deal.
Iran's closure of the Strait of Hormuz has halted roughly one-third of global seaborne fertilizer trade and nearly half the world's urea, the critical nitrogen source for crop growth.
The U.S. is a net exporter of fertilizer, but we have big fertilizer problems in the United States because, remember, even if you're exporting it and the price has gone up. So if you're from Iowa, where I'm from, you're paying a lot more for fertilizer this planting season, assuming you didn't buy it ahead of time, which, by the way, most of the farmers didn't. They've been in a little bit of a tight squeeze. Often they buy input, seed and fertilizer, prior to a year in advance of planting. Well, this year they didn't. So they're buying it basically not forward, but buying it on the spot market.
Urea prices from the Middle East have surged from under $500 per metric ton to around $700 or higher, with overall fertilizer costs up more than 50% year over year. Spring wheat planting could hit the lowest levels since 1970.
Setting the table on farmers is they were in bad shape prior to the war. Financially, they were getting squeezed. So as a result, they didn't do what they often do, and that's buy their inputs forward, buy them a year in advance.
Oh, wow. So they did that. They did that even before the crisis we're facing right now.
Yes.
Russia has suspended ammonium nitrate exports, China has restricted key blends to protect domestic prices, and India faces gas shortages threatening its urea output. With 318 million people already in acute hunger, analysts warn another 45 million could slide into crisis if disruptions last beyond June. Layer on the pharmaceutical strike, Iranian missiles hit Israel's Neot Hovav industrial zone, home to Teva Pharmaceutical, the world's largest generic drug maker, and Adama Chemical Facilities. Teva supplies affordable generics for cancer, heart, respiratory, and neurological treatments relied on by hospitals worldwide, especially in third world nations. Pre-existing shortages were already severe. Prices will rise, access will tighten, and chronic patients could face rationing or expensive switches in the months ahead. Iran's closure stranded Qatar's North Field output 33% of global helium. That also left 200 cryogenic helium containers at risk of total boil-off within weeks. No helium means no chips for AI GPUs or data centers, while India's 70,000 MRI machines and semiconductor memory supplies face immediate pressure. Jet fuel has at least doubled in the U.S., with airlines warning of dry inventories, cancellations, and rerouting, while diesel tightness grips Australia and South Korea, prompting wartime economic measures.
Chanju, what is the South Korean government doing to address all of these problems?
They've launched a full-scale emergency economic response involving the offices of the president, the prime minister, and more. They're also looking to pass a war supplementary budget, and they're urging the public to conserve energy.
The just-in-time global system that was built on cheap energy, fragile choke points, and the illusion of endless efficiency has had its table flipped over. Stock what you reasonably can, demand real domestic resilience over globalist fantasies, and build tolerance for uncomfortable truths that are imminent. John Bound, reporting for InfoWars.
Now let me say this again to our guest who's been patient the last 10 minutes waiting for me. Nothing is more mathematical than these equations and the economy and the algorithms and the business cycles. So if you have 67% of Americans, that's almost 70 now. Yeah, it's climbed to like 69 last week I saw, living hand to mouth, paycheck to paycheck, deep in debt. That's worse than the Depression. But because output's been higher and we've had more food production, people have been okay. And we know that when half of the money in any country, no matter if it's Asian, white, African, anything, hits energy and food, you start getting unrest. Hit 60%, you get revolution and war. Okay? Well, already most of the world's spending 55, 56% of their money on energy and food. Energy for machines, food, energy for humans. Larry Fink is so happy at BlackRock. He was in so much trouble. He wanted the Great Reset. He wanted COVID to lock things down. He wants to make us poor, to control us, bring in their new global cashless society. He's so happy now, saying, regardless, Strait of Hormuz just reopened. Energy goes up. We're done. It's over. Recovery. Global depression. Recovery's not happening. That was Trump's big plan. So Trump thought one-dimensionally, was lied to into this war. And you just heard, just like 69% of people hand-to-mouth in the U.S. alone, it's worse than other countries, believe it or not, that, oh, the majority of farmers didn't buy their fertilizer and seeds out to next year, which they do that because they can buy it early and get a better price. That's how maxed out they are. And remember, we have a lot of our own fertilizer. In the rest of the world, it's even worse. Most of the deliveries didn't happen around the world. Not just Strait of Hormuz, 30% of fertilizer, 21% out of Ukraine. That's been cut off for years. Now you see, so they want to squeeze us. They want control. Into that comes frantic messages. Let's get the clip and go to our guest of Congressman Burchett, Tim Burchett, very respected, great voting record, saying he was briefed on stuff that would absolutely horrify the American people 2 weeks ago. The problem was, Daniel Liston said, and I've confirmed this, is for about 6-7 years, they were doing it before, but they flooded the zone with all these former intelligence people with ridiculous stories, ridiculous disinfo, ridiculous crap to send people on wild goose chases while Trump tries, as he says, release the real UFO file. So they throw up layer after layer of lie, and we have the real expert on that, Daniel List. We'll also look at the new moon mission, what's really happening there, and so much more. But here's that clip of the congressman.
I don't have the tinfoil hat on just yet, Congressman, but I'm wondering, you know, kind of how you react to that, because you are connected. You're on the UFO subcommittee. I mean, I'm just wondering what you make of that. Have you heard anything like that?
Well, I'm still a member of Congress, so I can't really comment too much on what Matt said. But I will say this.
Wait, seriously? Are you being serious, or is that tongue-in-cheek?
I'm being 100% serious. Okay. I've been 100% serious. I've been briefed by just about every alphabet agency there is. And I'll just tell you this. If they would release the things that I've seen, you would stay up. You'd be up at night worrying about or thinking about this stuff. We just need to disclose it all. I'm sick of it. I was briefed. I'll just tell you this. I was briefed last week on an issue, or excuse me, 2 weeks ago. And it would have set the earth on it. This country would have come unglued, I think, if they would have heard all that I heard. They would demand answers. And we need to. But, you know, it's never going to get, unfortunately, it just keeps getting covered up and covered up. And the people that know are dying or disappearing, as the case may be.
Wow.
And for the record, I'm not suicidal and I don't take risks.
All right, let's stop there.
I'm glad you said
he was
that.
On to say, we got to get to Trump. We got to get to Trump. Well, that's the problem. So you got to be like a kid in a candy store here, but also very frustrated on this, Daniel List. Thanks for holding while that big buildup. What a moment to be alive. It's all coming to a head. What is it they're being briefed on? Is it real? Trump said he would bring it out in July. Now he says earlier, Obama tried to jump the gun. The big stuff's coming. I can feel we're on the cusp of something, Daniel.
There's no question about it. It's great to see you, Alex. What we're seeing here is the entire establishment becoming unglued because the UFO file is coming to a head one way or another. There's a forced process going on. And what we see deep inside the battle in the background is the group X-Protect, which is usually incredibly cautious, you know, when they destroy people's reputations or take out their opponents who are revealing these things. They usually do it in very small, subtle ways. So the first kind of, you know, the gun going off in this case was that the X-Protect group was eliminating the scientists in such an orderly fashion and getting rid of the team that they didn't want in there who had certain types of knowledge. And that list has now grown conservatively to 9. And we've been supplying, you know, a number of media outlets with information about the various missing scientists and missing generals. But with the core figure of McCaslin, I think one of the things that we can say is that they're going directly to the X-Share group versus the X-Protect group. And that's why you're seeing that expression on Congressman Burchett's face, because Burchett is literally coming out there and saying, you know, his headlines are getting bigger and bigger and bigger because the things that he's saying is letting out more and more. We think about a guy like Gates. It's very interesting because he had gone with Congresswoman Luna, and they had gone to these various bases looking for information about where craft were stored and everything. And they kept getting these little leaks out there. Oh, we know where a giant UFO is and all the rest. I can tell you for certain that the Congress people don't know anything about where they store these exotic craft, nor the nature of the exotic craft. Some of them, in some cases, are very old that they've discovered. Some of them come from crashes.
By the way, you warned of these wild goose chases years ago on the show and films you made. So obviously, these fake intel people come to them. They're flooding the zone. They run around on wild goose chases. It makes it a joke.
That is a program. And the program, the disinformation program, is called Yankee Blue, which is interesting because the actual program is called Blue. Yankee Blue is the disinformation program where you give the agents all of this information and pretend that you're giving them intel. And then they come out and they can say, oh, I saw this, I saw that. But it's literally—
And notice none of them get killed or put in prison to put out the disinfo.
Exactly. Well, the Wall Street Journal called it a hazing ritual. And this was a weird attempt to kind of put the genie back in the bottle, that all the stories that had been rolled out there, they started to realize it was all the spaghetti against a wall. So the disinformation agents were out there and they were coming directly. They were saying, oh, you know, that government needs to give us disclosure. I want to get us to the UFO file. But in fact, they were working for the government. One of the guys, famously, I tracked down, was working for 4 different agencies inside the government. And he was saying, oh, that government needs to give us, well, he's on the payroll, you know. And then it turned out later he came out with a book and dedicated it to James Clapper.
That's right. So if you're a real whistleblower, you disappear or get killed. You're parading around on Joe Rogan.
Yes, exactly. You're not going to get the kind of Lazar golden treatment. It's not going to happen. And when you think about a guy like that, you know, this has been going on for a long time. But if you even think back to the 90s, when you look at Area 51 and things that they were talking about there, they had already moved out the exotic craft from 51. That's why they could even expose it and put it on the chart. They wanted to. In fact, they wanted our enemies to think, oh, it's all there. But they were also whitewashing the general public. And there are very exotic locations in America, actually. One of them in Pennsylvania, quite famously, where that's kind of the real—
Yeah, exactly. So they use Area 51 as a red herring. It's really a toxic waste dump and has some earlier generation secret planes at it. We know that. Where are the real sites? We should do a whole show on that sometime.
Yes, there's no question about it. We could do an entire geography. And I want to say something about how, you know, in your show, with the things you've done and what we've done on the UFO side, being ahead of the curve right now is so crucial because what's about to hit is so pre-planned. It has such planning behind it going back decades.
I should have started like that on my huge intro. Obviously, they're rolling it out. They say they are something big. There's a fight over whether it's going to be true or not or a mix. What is the big thing?
Right in the heart of it, they've been redeveloping in the background for 8 decades this exotic technology. Now, the sources, on the inside, they, you know, originally thought this is an off-world source. Then some of them thought, well, maybe this is crypto-terrestrial. In fact, there was a researcher who thought there were these beings that were operating that were just blend in with society, were exactly like human beings, but they were just a little bit more technologically advanced. And he called them crypto-terrestrials. Well, it was an interesting book and an interesting intellectual exercise, except guess what? He ends up dying mysteriously at age 31. And they took out this researcher before he could get any further with that thesis, and everyone kind of dropped it.
Isn't that the Men in Black?
Yes, exactly. And it's very interesting because the author, Mac Tawney's, wrote about the Men in Black. So, you know, you can't get more ironic than that. But the whole idea of the Men in Black, again, is something that has been, you know, Hollywoodized, and yet there's a core to it. All the stories include follow-ups with people who had encounters with these beings, with these craft, and they were told basically shut up or spin it this way. And even in the earliest cases, Betty and Barney Hill, all these people showed up claiming to be from the Air Force, and then they would call the Air Force and say, oh, you know, Major so-and-so came here, and they said, we don't have a Major so-and-so. Who are you talking to? So they're adopting the persona. And I think what's particularly interesting if you study the Men in Black cases is the amount of supernatural activity that's associated with them, you know, literally blinking out, et cetera. So some people thinking, oh, am I losing my mind? This guy just disappeared in front of me. That's a very, very special kind of projection ability.
And, well, I've told you, some wild stories about a moon base and they're going to launch the Mars mission from there. Elon Musk, of course, it came out was true. But I'll tell you a story that I haven't told. It was right before J6, like a month before we had a rally, 500,000 people march. The day before it or so, I'm walking down the street to go to a restaurant with my wife and crew. And I'm not somebody that ever really has fear since I've been an adult. And there's like a black SUV 50 yards ahead. And three or four people come out in like black trench coats. And I'm walking 50 yards, getting closer as they're talking. And I've never had palpable fear shoved me back. My wife wasn't paying attention. The security guys weren't like, I revolted in fear. And I looked at these people as they got in the car, and they were like, I'm not, people, I swear to God, this is true. Never told a story. Like, looked like professional basketball players, but they were like 7 feet tall. The biggest was like 7 feet, others were like 6 foot something. And I looked, and they literally had like vampire ears, white skin, and the guy turned like a pig nose, and he had a classic hat on, whatever gangster had, and they look and duck into the car, and I was like frozen. My wife's like, what's going on? I was like, that's a true story. Like, it literally hit me like fear, which I don't normally feel. Wow. I felt I was scared. That's a true story. So the only time I saw anything like Men in Black was in D.C., broad daylight. Swear to God, I saw it.
It's interesting how it's like a reality disruption also, the fear and the energy thing that you're talking about. You know who shares an experience like that similar to yours is Dan Aykroyd, of all people, being totally serious. And he's in New York, and he's just gotten a show with the Sci-Fi Channel, and he's doing these UFO shows. One of them is on the federal agencies pursuing UFO witnesses. And he goes down, and he's setting up some kind of Saturday Night Live thing, and he turns around on his phone, and he sees these kind of classic Men in Black with a 1940s car that looks exactly brand new. And Aykroyd recounts this story, and he's like, I was terrified. And he said, I looked away, and I looked back, and they were gone. And he said, you know, I know celebrities say a lot of zany things, but this is wild. And in fact, he was becoming a very high-profile UFO file figure by, you know, talking about the Hudson Valley sightings.
Well, I'll tell the story because it's always, it was so unreal that instantly I was shoved back and my body saying danger. And then I was looking at him, and the guy just barely turns around and just gets in the car. And I was just like, and I also had this feeling of attacking him too. I was just like, my cells went, that is the enemy. Like I'm a seal that knows a great white shark's dangerous, you know? Like, a seal never saw a great white, but it's a seal. It has an instinct to run from it. I was like, it was crazy, man. They say there's like a loathsomeness just in their presence, right?
Yes, absolutely. And around what year was that, Alex?
2016. It was like right before they stole the election. We were having a big rally in D.C.
Wow. Incredible. There is a thing where deep in the programs, there's something which is an actual astral agency. And I'll get into this deep with you in the next segment, but they actually have trained agents to project themselves from an astral level. So they know how to astral project, and they do the terrorizing from an astral body.
Well, I'm telling you, I have it frozen in my memory. I'm walking, and I go, and I was like, what the hell? Is that Nosferatu? God, that guy's big. Who are those? They're wearing black, and they got fedoras on. And I'm just like, all of a sudden, it was like he had a pig nose and like pointed ears. Swear to God, folks, coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself is InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts. and they're symbols of your support, and you're being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines. Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So that you get it and you like it and you want to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites for decades with great sponsors because they really work. I'm going to tell you what they are. Well, Bigley, our sponsor, has a really high quality private label, top selling brand that we were able to private label. We're bringing to you right now. With the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis. But not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high quality zeolite. Please do your own research. And then go to thealexjonesstore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding and eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Enter Zeolite Detox Defense, advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. Through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bovine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this zeolite detox formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners, the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now please visit thealexjonesstore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber, lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time, so all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs, cancel any time, $30 a month, get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your zeolite formula now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. You're listening to Alex Jones.
But listen, I just told that story for the first time. I think I may have halfway told it before. And because I got five or six security guys with me, some crew, with my wife, broad daylight, you know, middle of the afternoon, about to go eat. And I was physically looked at him as I'm walking and was like pushed back. And my wife's like, are you okay? And I'm like, look. And then I'm like, and then they just turns. And I was like, am I seeing this? And folks, I'm telling you, it looked like scarier than like the remake in the 90s of Nosferatu. I mean, it looked like, I thought like vampire. In fact, I saw guys in black look like vampires. And I kind of looked at the other people with them, and they were all in black, fedoras, black jackets. It was just cold. And they were piling into an SUV, and they were laughing and talking, but the big one turned and looked at me, and it was like, and it was just like the skin was all like scarred looking, totally white, like translucent. And this is what people say, and I just reminded by Lewis, our social media guy who's been there for 15 years. He said, don't you remember when Fritz Springmeier was here? He talked about that. And what you just said, that he only saw them a few times, and they put him in prison because they were so upset about his book. And then a few times in his, he'd wake up at night, turn the light on, and they would, the same guys were there in his room. Folks, I'm just telling you, this is all real. I mean, I saw this bigger than Dallas, and I've never, one time when I was like 12, you know, they drop you off the truck to go to your deer stand out in the, you know, your tree stand out in nowhere, and there are mountain lions in East Texas, and I heard like a mountain lion roar, and it scared me that time. This was nothing like it. It was a, saw it, registered, and then just was pushed up against the wall. And my wife's like, are you all right? So I'm going to stop telling the story. That happened. But you're an expert on this, and it ties into it all. So I'm going to shut up. Let's get into Men in Black and then everything that's happening.
Well, absolutely. These are the types of experiences, though, that, you know, it goes. It's intergenerational very often as well. If there's some kind of pattern of tracking in relation to this. But it instantly, when you talk about something like that, I think directly of Aleister Crowley's involvement with the entire UFO issue very early on. And it's quite fascinating because I put up a few exhibits, but right in the beginning there, there's an exhibit of Lamb, who's a very interesting and important character. Try to think of the name. It's actually number 5 is the exhibit. But Lamb is very important because this was literally Crowley communicating with an alien, or what he thought was an alien. And he had gone directly.
When he went into the pyramid and did this ritual. This is what he drew. Before the whole great thing was seen, any of this was this.
Now, this is important because the grays had not been reported. You're exactly right. That picture's from 1920. So what was he seeing? He's already dealing with the gigantic head and the strange entity. So instantly we have a hint of what's to come. By the time you get to the 1960s, you're dealing with the gray aliens. And by the time the 1980s, you have something that doesn't even look human at all. It's just a bubble head with black eyes. So certainly they increased their frequency in relation to this. And we started to hear over and over again in relation to witnesses about breeding programs. And this wasn't the government breeding aliens. This was the other way around.
And that leads us to what Matt Gaetz is saying, being visited by the Army and briefing them on human-alien hybrids.
Yes, exactly. And this is the interesting thing, because it sounds like over the course of time, the process has come back to us, and we're doing the reverse engineering on the alien bodies. Now, I can tell you somebody very solid in the background there. His name was Sarbarker. He was a top physicist in America. And he said, we looked at these crashes. We thought the beings that were inside were insects, because their bodies were kind of constructed. But we definitely thought the bodies were made. They weren't physical, organic life. So somebody had made these kind of androids to go out. And he said they were developed like insects so they could pick up the tremendous G-force that went along with all of this. So when you look at that, I think we're really talking about people who were inside and were part of the actual UFO file. Now, those voices, even Robert Sarbark, you can't even find a Wikipedia page on him. He's been wiped out of history, essentially. But he was as big an Oppenheimer in his time. And in fact, he came out and helped these researchers in the 80s and 90s and said, look, this is what's going on. We redeveloped all this stuff. Then he died. So when we look at those people in the background, they've told us, they've kicked it off. And, you know, there's trying to be a lot of misinformation and people saying, well, you know, MJ-12 wasn't real or whatever it is. You have real people on the record. There's too much important information in the background. So now I think the groups inside the government, like the Expertech group, are looking at this and they're saying, you know what? We need the narrative control. We need to control the narrative, and we need a program for doing that. So if they're talking now back there about a UFO threat, or if you have J.D. Vance saying, well, you know what? UFOs are demons. I mean, it's very extraordinary. That's a vice president, and he's talking about a phenomena and ascribing his own religious belief to it.
Yeah, regardless, they're getting ready for some big disclosure, whether it's true or not. Do you think Trump actually wants the truth, and is he getting the truth?
Well, I think Trump thinks in terms of advantages, and he wants to be historic, but he also has been trying to pull that UFO file back under executive control. He knows, going all the way back to John F. Kennedy, Kennedy was trying to do the same thing. Eisenhower instructed him to get it back from the corporations and bring it back under the executive branch, because then it was accountable to the government. Now, if we look at that history, what's going on is Trump is leapfrogging in the middle of all this, because his uncle gave him that knowledge very early on. And when we look at John Trump, we have an extraordinary figure right in the heart of the UFO file, because he worked for Vannevar Bush. He was Vannevar Bush's protege.
And people thought Trump was dumb when he on Fox said, I know about nukes, I know about my uncle. It was like he's saying, I know the future.
Yes, exactly. And I think this has been part of the problem with Trump. He has three main characters in the background that make him very dangerous for the deep state, but also he can be co-opted by the deep state if he's not careful. Like we're seeing the things, the reports that you've been doing about Iran are absolutely spot on. This is something that is so unlike Trump and totally against his philosophy in general that we have to think the whole administration has been co-opted in some regard. And unless they get control back from that group and get out of those wars in the Middle East, which were the big bane of the W. Bushes and all that, you know, then that's a whole neocon thing. We've been through that movie. The thing is, the core thing about the actual UFO file is it gets us into a totally different paradigm. The group on the inside, what they've been trying to do is create a sky event, and they have gone through various drone permutations like the drone waves over these bases, and they're saying, you know, we're having drones over Secretary of War Pete Hegseth's house or Marco Rubio. You're never going to have a drone over some of their houses. They must know exactly what the origin of that is, and if they don't, then we're in really, really deep trouble because that's an extraterritorial force that's basically saying we have impunity to do anything we want in your skies. And the only reason I think there's maybe a possibility that that is exactly what's happening is it was happening to Trump when he was president-elect and he was kind of going around in those motorcades. And what did he do when he heard about all these drones and everything? He said, well, I'm putting a drone buster on top. You saw the cars driving around with drone busters. Well, you know, if we had control of our skies, obviously that wouldn't be the kind of thing that was happening. And
is it basically the breakaway civilization harassing the regular civilization, or is it multiple breakaways?
There's no question. They do splinter off. There's no question about it. There are divisions. There are factions. But when you're talking about blackmailing the actual government, this group, which is member right between a corporate state and the actual state, this group has access to that technology for 80 years. They're the ones who have it. We are the ones who want it. Right. And we are on almost like a lone basis with these people. So, you know, we have this whole thing about the moon mission going on. This is absolutely fascinating because this has been promised for years and years. These guys that are going up right now, they're not even going to land on the moon. They're just doing an orbit around the moon. And this should be fascinating. But one of the things that they said taking off, there were two very, very unusual things. I'm not sure people picked up on this. One of the things was the leader.
About Artemis II. So again,
Artemis II.
Going back to the moon since the 70s. And then it's launched on April Fool's. We see the big rocket take off. Keep going.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. And this is fascinating because what happens is the leader of that mission says, this is the first time we're going to the moon. I mean, that's very, you know, he knows that's going to be picked up and say, hey, we never went to the moon in the first place. So it's a weird statement for him to make. The second one.
And he couches it, though, first time go to the moon with us still in low orbit. So it obviously it's meant to be covered by that, but very provocative. Yeah. Exactly. They're stirring us up.
Exactly. They know what people are going to be grabbing the headline for. You know, this reminds me of when the COG commander came out and said, oh, yeah, we shot down a UFO. Well, they shot down a balloon in that case, but they're trying to prep people's minds for this. And the thing about the sky event that I think is so crucial is they need a deep event, just like they needed a deep event with 9/11, just like they needed the, you know, the COVID op and all the rest. They need a deep event in relation to space and the UFO file. And they've been brewing this threat. So what you're seeing in the headlines over and over again is threat, threat, threat. They have to gin up the UFO file as a threat because then they can control the threat.
Absolutely. So let's expand on that. But just go back to Artemis II. You have the commander of the mission. We'll play the club. When I saw it yesterday, I went, he says, first time we go on the moon with people in low Earth orbit. So he says it, he's smiling to say we never went, but then to say, no, I meant with us in low Earth orbit at the same time. Obviously provocative. Why are they stirring it up? Here's the club.
It might land wrong, but I'm going to try anyway. This is the first time we're going to send humans to the moon, and we're going to have humans in low Earth orbit. That is awesome. Like, we should, as humanity, we should take a brief moment to go, that's awesome. One of the things that we most asked for and look forward to is we are going to do a crew conference between Integrity and the International Space Station, the crew that's up there.
That's extraordinary. It really is. And he knows that he's putting that across there and that this is the first time Americans have gone back to the moon in over 50 years. So to lay it out there makes it sound like, oh, we never went there in the first place. This is absolutely crucial because they laid out those rumors themselves in the very early stages. It was NASA who was behind the rumors that we didn't go. How do you square that? Why would they want those types of rumors out there?
Well, what is your bottom line? Because you love getting all the facts. That's great. Your personal opinion. What really happened? Did we go to the moon? From all my evidence, we got a way more advanced space program. I had friends that were on the main mission on the ground running, and they said, no, we were communicating with it, but there was a bunch of other weird stuff. We saw other craft flying everything around, which has been released before. So what really happened?
Well, they were operating with a kind of torsion physics. They've never shared that. Nobody else has it. That's why nobody else has gone to the moon and come back. You know, the Russians can send unmanned probes there. Big deal. You know, we've been doing it for 60, 70 years. And the fact that we have manned missions that go back to 1969, if you look at that, the Russians, the Chinese, nobody's been able to do that.
Well, that's
that.
What Why? I was told by Raymond Teague. He wouldn't give me the classified stuff. He had like presidential combination letters on his wall. It was like on record, like running the cameras on the moon. He said, listen, we went, those other stuff, I can't get into it. I don't even know, but it was, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And here's the thing. What did they find on the moon? This is the problem. And if they found ruins on the moon, that's a very big problem in terms of how do you deal with human society in relation to that? How do you measure their reaction and all the rest of it? So that was the subject of a study all the way back in the 1960s by the Brookings Institute. How would humanity react if we found ruins on Mars or the moon? So they've been studying this for a long, long time. The fact is they knew what they were going to encounter when they got up there.
And why and is Mars they were also jacketed scared with off. Massive radioactive ice tub that's only from hydrogen bombs?
Yes. And here's another thing when you get around that issue. Isn't it interesting that we have this tie-in with the UFO file and nukes? Over and over again, this has come up, and we have a number of cases where UFOs have just hovered over nuclear bases and shut down their missiles. So whoever is operating that technology, and again, I think what you're looking at is a group that is completely alien in the sense that they are not human. And I think what you're looking at is our imitation of that group based on the fact of our own communications with them or our own redevelopment of their technology. That's the biggest problem in the heart of all this, which is to think of it just as you were saying, as some group that's out there in Alpha Centauri who comes and visits once in a while doesn't make any sense. But something that is beyond us on a dimensional level that we're trying to communicate with and that groups in our own human past communicated with, that's the different level. That is the mystery school level of understanding all of this. And that's where people on the good side, you know, like a Rudolf Steiner, were trying to say, hey, you know, there's this Ahriman figure and he's influencing humanity in the 21st century. This is going to be his big heyday. And then you have people like Crowley on the other side saying, I can conjure up this being and I can interact with his knowledge and take over the world. You know, so you have these factors going on in the background, but there's no question that there's a mystery school war in the background of all this that manifests as a scientific war in the background. That's where the breakaway aspect comes in. We have to understand there's a group that holds the advanced technology and that they are above congressional censure. They're above the president. This is the problem. And the president is the constitutional authority in the country. So this back and forth with the Space Force and all the rest of it, the problem with Trump, I think, in this case, is that they're trying to get him into the war mode around space. And, you know, space is a warfighting domain. And Kennedy said exactly the opposite. Kennedy said, we're going up there to create an entire different frontier for humanity. And Kennedy was very well-versed and read in on the UFO file because he had been so close with Forrestal and all these others who knew so much about it. And he also knew that people were assassinated by this Exprotect group over the UFO file. And I consider him one of the most high-profile people who was eliminated over this program. You know, we have
many
officials
now. And now it's admitted generals and their staff and all these scientists are being killed and disappearing. I mean, this is big stuff's happening.
Well, this is 2026. Welcome to 26. Welcome to Thunderdome. Right? We're going hardcore into the hardcore point of this. And the point of it is—
By the way, you were on a few years ago. You predicted stuff was about to get very violent.
Yes, exactly. Well, they get violent at a point where their program's exposed and it gets ahead of them. This is the nature of the problem with the Exprotect group. And usually, as I've said, they're more subtle. And you can see their subtle footprints through history. And it's very interesting because everyone agrees that there's a group like this somewhere in the background, but they've never unified the information around it. You can go back to the work of Donald Kehoe and some of these early guys, and they said there's this thing called the Silence Group. And they're basically getting the silence of these top generals in the Air Force. And if they don't get the silence, then they silence them. Well, you know, the Silence Group is the Exprotect group. It comes from
sure,
the same
thing. Sure, I want to get back to that in a moment. But what do you make of Burchett? We don't know what he was briefed on, but He said it would set the world on fire. He said it would set the world, he didn't say on fire, but it would panic everybody. What do you think he's being briefed with?
Well, this is very interesting because this is part of a program too. When things start to get hot and heavy, you look at people like Burchett, Burleson, and Luna. They've all been brought forward as the UFO people, right? For some reason, they're congressional people who talk about UFOs. Now, there's no real interesting reason in the background why they should, but even Gates was in that program as well. So there's something in that loop. I know there's a Florida connection because Rubio also talked about the UFO file. So there's something in the root of all this where they're trying to say something in the background is saying there's a whole wave of this technology that's coming in. We're going to reveal this
technology.
And Vance
is positioning himself as that.
He is. There's no question about it. He's supposed to be the first. Who's the one who can talk openly about it to a new generation. And the only thing I think is fascinating about what he's doing is calling it a demon. You see, if you're a VP and you call a UFOs demons, you are really, you know, that is a totally, think about national security. It's taking this guy's idea. Where is he coming from by saying UFOs are demons? You know, so when I think about—
And you know, that's been approved, that's been war game, that's been planned. So in your opinion, yeah. Why is he doing that?
I think what they're trying to do, they're going to reveal UFOs and they want to take the Christian audience, which is generally will look at this and say, you know, it's outside of Christian purview with the UFO file. But that's not actually true, but that's how they view it. And they say, we're going to be able to pull this in by saying, hey, they're interdimensional devils. We'll just pull them in this way. And that's how they're a threat. And therefore, we have a war office. We're fighting demons. And they also have been trying to get
that
tremendous
amounts of money. That goes to Stephen Greer forever saying they're trying to demonize it for a war. But that's
yes. Yes, he does. He's made that point. There's no question about it. I think the only problem I get with some of that is, of course, there's a mix here, which is there's also the Space Brothers idea, right? And this is incredible, benevolent Pleiadian groups that are going to come here and rescue humanity. Well, we're in a very interesting paradigm because we need to learn about these things, but we need to learn that the information we're getting on the government side is a complete lie. And the
sure,
reason
well,
that they're lying—
talk about this, but he has his connections to Israel, the Rockefellers, and others. There's definitely an obsession in that group with it. But you're generating yes. a lot of what he's saying is being validated. So— let me ask you this from your research, not getting into speculation, but just generally what's thought, because you have all these whistleblowers on talk shows. Oh, I met with the reptoid. I met with but you know, they threatened to kill me, but I'm like, it's obviously fake. You can see it. But looking at this versus interdimensional versus visitors versus whatever, what are the known, like who is it supposedly Eisenhower met with or what is it?
Well, I think you have off-world visitors. I don't think there's any question about that. But at the same time, if you go deep into it, you're going to find the Atlantean explanation for much
of this.
No, I
agree with you that it is actually a real breakaway civilization. The globalists say they're going to create high-tech reservations, keep us like animals at an agrarian level, and that the Earth will just be like a nature preserve, as Jeff Bezos said. Well, that already happened. I agree. They're humanoid, whatever. It's breakaway humans. That's what most people I talk to say it is, that basically yeah. are now... use us as a form of entertainment or body parts, or they still need the old to control the new, or there's some fetish keeping us around. That this isn't aliens. This is what we hear about with all the ancient cultures. You know, going back to all the ancient texts. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And when you think about it, the people who are very serious on these subjects, like John Mack, who I got a chance to know. He was over here at Harvard as a professor, as a tenured professor, and they went after him amazingly. He died maybe about 10 years ago, but he had this incredible background, and he went into this subject, and he got attacked for it. And it was interesting. When I talked to him, he said, well, it's nothing at all like we understand, because when the people get abducted in these experiences, they go through things. It's not like they get put into a ship and grabbed and dragged along. They go through walls. So there's a whole different dynamics. There's a whole different physics that's involved here. This is the apotheum. This is the physical reality distortion physics that goes along with this. That's the problem.
But this goes back to the Epic of Gilgamesh, Sumeria. It all describes this. So does the Old Testament. So the Egyptians. So you hear all this new stuff, but it's in all the ancient texts. So clearly, this isn't just modern propaganda. They're trying to spin it. There's something else going on.
There's no question about it. And no, this phenomena has been with us since the beginning of time. There's no question about that. This goes all the way back to the Mayans and the Egyptians. I'm glad you mentioned Gilgamesh because that is actually the original Noah's Ark story. And there's a line in there where they're taking him up in this ship and he's looking down and he says, oh, the earth looks like porridge. Well, if you were going up fast in a craft and looking down at the Earth, that would be your explanation in 3000 BC that the Earth looks like porridge. There's a series of biblical references in around the UFO file. The Ezekiel reference is fascinating, but if you look deeply into that with the wheels within a wheels and the eyes that shift and the wings, he's describing a gigantic machine, and there's no question.
But then he says the creature, the angel, comes off on a floating platform in the Hebrew and Arabic with a crystal dome over its head and then communicates with him. I mean, it's literally Close Encounters.
It is. And what's interesting about that is he's talking about crystals there, and he calls it the terrible crystal. Well, that's very interesting because Casey's whole story in relation to Atlantis was they had the terrible crystal. They had the two-eye stone that powered the civilization, but it took everything down. So it was a technology on one hand, but what was the other aspect of it? Well, Casey said they used it to communicate with the saintly realm. So the technology being used is an interdimensional device.
Communication system.
Yes. Yes, and it goes both ways because what they're talking about, when you talk about demons and other things, there's no question that that's a reality. You know, it's fascinating. I had a conversation with Graham Hancock, and Graham Hancock's done a lot of psychedelic experience things, but he's the Atlantis expert. And I had him out here in Cambridge, and we did a whole interview series. Well, it was interesting because what he said was when he was doing these ayahuasca trips with the DMT and all the rest of it, what was he seeing? He was seeing grays. So the grays were popping into his experience while he was doing this
interdimensional thing. By the way, everybody does.
Everybody does. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a classic Elko. They're grays with like little green hats. And if they get pissed off, they'll pull it off. Like you said, they're like a praying mantis. This is like universal.
It is. And that's a whole shapeshifter quality depending on our own subconscious. I think that that is an absolute fact. But it's interesting to me because a guy like Hancock wasn't even into UFOs, but they're popping into his experience. So they have a way to dance between physical reality. They show up, they disappear. And then when people are into these psychedelic spiritual seeking trips, they show up there as well.
Well, that's it. I mean, our brain is the control panel. So
yes, exactly.
A real enemy doesn't show up with tanks. It goes into your brain.
Right, exactly. And your brain is the interactive point. It's interesting when they've gone to redevelop the craft, some of the very clear cases, it's much fuzzier now after the fact with these whistleblowers. But if you go into the older cases, you find the actual facts of these people who came forward and said, when we sent people in to redevelop the craft, a number of strange experiences happened to them. They couldn't spend more than 20 minutes inside those craft.
Because
that's
the
how
veil
it
was lifted.
Works. Exactly. So it's not just like, hey, there's a crashed UFO and a bunch of dead bodies. You're dealing with a whole, as you mentioned, interdimensional experience when you're dealing with this. Because if those people, when they interact at that level, they start seeing their loved ones who are deceased or they start having psychic experience, why does, in a number of those cases of the UFO contactees, their psychic experience goes off the charts? Suddenly they become telepathic. Suddenly they become psychic, you know, they can do psychic trance readings. They can see into the future. Well, obviously, the interactions brought them to an entirely different level, and that's opened up some latent quality deep inside.
It activates the synapses that we are all electrochemical transceivers. It's been proven. That's how, you know, geese can fly 3,000 miles. Wow, 2 minutes. Absolutely. We're right back with Daniel List. This is so important, folks. Stay with us. Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself is InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition, that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts, this is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder, 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support, and you're being part of this operation, and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. This is personally one of my favorite shirts in the new line. Now here's the classic InfoWars logo on a white shirt. Never done black on white, seems like we should have. Looks great. Got the 1776 on the shoulder. You are literally funding and supporting and wearing your uniform in the fight to defeat the globalists. InfoWars is 28 years old. America is 250. And look at the back of this clean shirt. USA 250, 1776 forever. Semi-quintennial. That means 250, baby. America's birthday with badass hats as well. And then, of course, we've got the new limited edition, America at 250 years old. And the back of these shirts are amazing Americana. And I designed this the Betsy Ross flag with 250 on it. Get yours now at thealexhillstore.com. I'm back because I forgot one point that I want to be very clear about. This is a fundraiser. We need funds to continue on and the new operation. It's urgent. These are historic shirts. You've taken the info this far. Please take action now. For those of you who've been on the fence over bought anything, thealexhillstore.com, but have shared links and things, I appreciate you. But come on, folks. We're the tip of the spear. We need you. We need your support. You're the tip of the spear. Thank you so much.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones